into us in our life. It is in the Lord Jesus' name, that his character, his nature, that we have this relationship with our God. And in that name we pray, amen. Would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, as we're going to continue on in this, thank you, Scott, for reading, Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. I don't have to do that today. Set up where we're going in, but turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our look at what Jesus is identifying his church as. He's identifying us. We've talked about it many times in many different ways, and it should come back to your mind. And yeah, I would just want to thank the ushers that serve in our communion thing. Thank you for the honor and that those gentlemen handled that in. But this is what the Lord is doing. He's identifying his church as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He's not talking about so much of an action, which it brings action, right? We looked at that last week. We'll give a couple of, go back to that illustration. He's not really so much talking about an action of our life. He's talking about a reality of our life, right? We are the salt of the earth, the only salt and the only light of the world that God is at work at through his church. This is what it is. He can do all that he wants to do, but there's no other salt in the earth or light in the world than the Lord Jesus Christ church, apart from God and whatever he wants to do that. But that's who we are. And it's important for us to really acknowledge who we are and to understand what the Bible says we are. We're in Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 13 through 16. And go ahead and grab your outline. Go ahead and grab your outline. Let me grab mine. Mine's under all of this here, all the stuff that I was doing today. We got to love our little ones, right? For this grandparents, that's the sound of joy. I heard that a lot yesterday. We watched the little ones yesterday. It was a wonderful time. But grab your outline to help you follow along. Last week, I taught the truth of God's word concerning the introduction principles to what Jesus is simply declaring in verses 13 through 16. I'm not going to cover all that. I'll review that really briefly, but I covered a lot last week on that. But let's just read the text, and then let's just pull what the Lord is wanting us to understand. And he's doing it right here, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, laying foundation to all the New Testament teaching. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, you read that, you listen to that, you see he makes these two statements, right? This in original language, this is what it is. It's a statement. You all are the salt of the earth. Everyone that is the Beatitudes, everyone that has the kingdom life, everyone that has all of the blessedness of God. You all are the salt of the earth. You all are the light of the world. That's to impact our life. God declared that. He stated it. It's not something where you're sitting here saying, oh, well, it's sort of like, no, it's definitive what it is. We need to know clearly what Jesus means. Jesus is speaking to those who belong to his kingdom. Just like he was in verses 3 through 10. He's still on the same subject, same topic. And in verses 3 through 10, Jesus was teaching us that all who are Christians, all who belong to the kingdom of God, that have kingdom life in them, these are their Beatitudes. And it's much more than action only. It's your very nature, he says. We got to grab that. Because if this is your very nature in your salvation, right? We want the very nature that we are to come out of our life. I am this. I am meek. I am merciful, right? I thirst and hunger for the righteousness of God, right? I have a singleness devotion to Christ that's in me in my new life. I'm a peacemaker. Scott told us on that. All of these things, they are who we are. It's not something we're trying to add on to who I am. No, God has declared that's who I am. That's why Christianity becomes so definitive and so clear in assurance of your salvation. See, I wouldn't live any of this life without being saved. Because you can't. You can fake it. You can add it. You can say, but you can't. It's divine work. It's supernatural life. It's not the natural tendencies of humanity. It's not hocus pocus. It's by the sovereign power of God to create you new. You are born again, made new. You are different than the world. And it should look completely different. You don't look like the world, belong like the world. Well, we all kind of look like the world in structure, but not in attitude or action. See, Jesus being very definitive here. The Christian church in our world today has kind of lost all of this, and we'll kind of look at all of that today. Jesus taught by the divine power of God through the regeneration work of the Holy Spirit, your new nature is these characteristics from your outline. You are humble, penitent, meek, hunger for the Lord's way of life. You're merciful, undivided in your devotion to Christ, peacemakers, ambassadors to Christ, and the world in general opposes your existence because it proves Jesus as the true and living God in whom salvation isn't alone. If your life isn't that, you are either in the way and dishonoring Christ with what you're choosing in your life, or you're not His. There's no other option. Right? Come on, church, right? Right? We're learning the Word of God. We know the Word of God transforms life. We know the Word of God speaks to our lives. We know the truth of God's Word in there. It speaks to those who have new life. It's bringing forward out of your new life what God has already done in your transformation. You got anger? It's because you're in the way of God bringing the humbleness that He created your new life to have. It's that simple. You can say, well, I just was born with anger and I've just been an angry person. Yeah, your old self is all of it. It manifests, it's every horrible thing in life. You got to deny all that. It's Christianity. It's new life. It's not religiosity. And Jesus is clearing the field with us on all of this. You are that by the power of God. I read it. These are not the natural tendencies of lost humanity. They're nothing like that. They are the actual tendencies of only who have new life in Christ. Back in the beginning of the study of the Beatitudes, we learned some general principles. Look at them. They're in your outline of these characteristics that I just read. All Christians are to manifest all these characteristics. All of them are you in your salvation. God wants them to bring it forth out of your life and because it's who you are. It's not you're trying to add to your life. You're seeking the Lord. You're submitting to Him. You're obeying His word. And God is bringing them out of your life. That's Christianity. That's saved. That's born again. That's regeneration. That's what Christians are. Number two, each characteristic is produced by grace alone. Of course, you're not producing these on your own. God is out of your life, your whole life and anything of it that's the Lord's way of life, lived by you, is produced by God's grace. You're just denying self, denying the old self, embracing the new. Like I said, most of the time we're just trying to get out of the way of what the Lord's trying to bring forth out of our life. Good place for a good amen. And then when you recognize that you have this irritation, this attitude toward your spouse and your impatience with your children and your unkindness to the lost world and all of those things that you recognize, God just goes, well, you know what? Follow me. Apply God's word. Walk by the Spirit. You won't carry out the desires of the flesh. And guess what? You will just live the transformed life that's in you. It's there. Because God's going to walk you to it. And you don't do it on your own. It's a grace. You got to submit, right? We talked about this in the beginning. It's all about submission. There's no good thing in me except God guiding my life and my new life, and the rest of it, I just need to surrender to Him. Amen? And these characteristics are in complete contrast with the world. They don't look like the world at all. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ in attitude, action, thought, speech, and purpose is completely different than the lost world around it. Not in a hateful way, in a harmful way, in a self-exalting way. And it's just like, wow, you know, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me because that's who I was. You know, I went to the racetrack, and I gambled, and I drank, and I did the things that the world does, right? And I couldn't even see what was true, and I couldn't even understand what is true. Do you know the world has no idea what we're talking about today? Might be some people in the room that don't have any idea what I'm talking about today. And they need to come to faith in Christ, true saving faith, to God to bring a new life to them so they can understand what we're talking about. But we're totally different. Your new life is completely opposite of their fallen life. And it's not in a condemning way. It's not to say, ooh, look at me, I'm better than you. It's not like that. No, look at me, I'm meek, I'm humble, I'm this. God has said, I'm going to lay down my life and learn and serve you in this life for God to save you. That's how you look upon the world. In all of the depravity and all of the things that got going on, how many of you are disgusted with all the homeless? Ask God, He'll tell you, go down there, talk to Him, share the love of Christ. That's what He'll do with you. Now, we can't all do that all the time. I get it. But man, I want a different heart, don't you? But there's a different heart in me. It's called the Lord Jesus Christ. I know where my flesh goes. This is what the Lord is talking about. This is what he's being definitive about. Jesus gathers all this together and says emphatically, with intensity, you all are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. How can we not want to be what we are? How can we say life's full of something else? When your Lord and Savior, the one you just took communion with, the one that you just said, I want to remember, he just spoke to you from his word and said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I gave my life, he said. All the way to the point, taking all of the eternal wrath that was supposed to be poured on you, they poured it on me. I lived a sinless life. I took it all. And so I could give you salvation, transform life. So in this short little period that you live here on existence in this earth, you'll be the salt and light that God wants to use in this world to be salt and light. That's what your Lord just taught us in his word. That's what he's teaching us in his word. It's definitive. It's not like a random thing. Oh, there's all these other things that are out in front of it. It's a Sermon on the Mount. He just began. It impacts the whole New Testament. I've been teaching you that. It's by transformation through being born again. It's the new nature. It's your very existence. All the same things apply. All of this, you are, and God is going to bring it forth out of your life. Salt, light. It is a complete contrast to the world around you. The lost world, guess what, causes corruption and promotes the illumination of darkness. That's who I was till I could see. But the people that were around me said, no, I'm going to cause, live for salt, to hold back, retard the corruption in the world. God's going to use me for that, and he's going to illuminate the true light of Christ. Last week, I gave an illustration of us acknowledging that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I'm going to give it to you again because it was a fun one and you could see how it works. And then seeing the journey of the purpose of the existence. Two Saturdays ago, I went to my four-year-old's t-ball game. My grandson played t-ball. There's 3 and 4-year-olds running around on the field out there. They all knew they were ball players. Every one of them, man, smiling big, knew, we're ball players, woo, ball players, right? They didn't know how to play ball. That's the church. You are salt, you're light. We want to figure out how to play it, how to live it. And then as you grow and you mature, you get a little better at it. And God uses you a little more at it. Well, actually, how you grow and mature is I just get better at denying myself. Isn't that true? All you counselors out there, all you people, isn't that true? I just get better at surrendering and submitting my life to God's word and denying myself. And you know what? I become more of a light and more of salt in the world because that's what God is doing because that's who he says I am. This is the reality of the Word of God. Now, at the beginning of that softball, or those little T-ball thing, they didn't even know they were on a baseball team, right? They just thought, I'm a ball player. Who are these people out here with me, right? I don't throw it to you. I throw it to Dad. Yeah, heck with you, right? Or I throw it at the guy running. They didn't know where to run. You guys been to that game, right? Right? Here's baseball. Here's home plate. First is over there, and they hit, and they run that way, right? They run. Welcome to Christianity in the church life. Hey, that's not the right way, right? How many of us are doing that with our children? In the way of Christianity. No, God says, God's word's definitive. It's this way. We don't get to just run in circles, you know, and say, well, I'm playing ball. No, God is directing and guiding, and he has a way, and we're learning that way, and they work together to play as a team, and most of the time, they're afraid of fielding the ball. I was talking to the parents, especially my daughter and my son-in-law. Throw and catching was foreign to them. But they're ball players. And they had coaches. They had coaches and assistants who were teaching them how to be a ball player all through the game. It's the life of the church. But you're salt and light. There's an acknowledgement that needs to happen to say, that's who I am in Christ Jesus. I can't say I don't want to be on the team. You can say it. You can go ahead and say it. You can go ahead and believe it. But what God teaches you is, are you going to believe his word? Now turn your outline over. Let's get into salt and the earth. We're just going to go briefly. We're going to move along here. We're just going to look salt to the earth. It's Mother's Day next Sunday. We're going to preach on the light of the world. That sounds like moms to me. That sounds like an honoring thing to do to moms, light of the world. How many of our moms would we say been just the light of our home? Right? Christ in them, right? That kind of thing. But I wouldn't want to kind of separate this and go that kind of thing. Just give you a little heads up on that. But you turn your outline over. Look at this with me. So what Jesus is, what does he mean by declaring that you are the only salt of the earth? What does he mean? What's that mean, Lord? We've been looking at it and all that, but let's get a definite, let's get definitive in here. He's declaring to you and me, you are the only salt of the earth. First, you have to acknowledge by divine power and God's divine will, you are the salt of the earth. Let's start there. Your entire existence, every day you get up, every day you wake, every day you breathe, every day you do, God, he didn't say, you know, go in 5 minutes of your 48-hour day that some of us think we're trying to get in, go be salt. No, you're salt when you wake up and breathe, and when you're sleeping, you're salt. You're salt. You have to acknowledge that's who I am in this world. That's what Jesus is telling us. Anybody with me? Right? That's what we have to acknowledge. Right? You're a lover of Christ, right? You're God's child. We could go through all the kinds of things here, but Jesus decided in the Sermon on the Mount to say this as foundational to his church, that you are these characteristics that are in your new life, and then he just didn't grab them all together. You are the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. That's what he decided. I didn't decide it. I didn't go, oh, let me pick up something I like to talk about. This is God's word. This is what God wants to say to us, the one that we... Actually, the one that's saying it right now is the one that we just took communion with. We can argue with him. We can say, oh, I don't think it's a big part of our life. I'm trying to get across to you in the definitiveness of Scripture and where Jesus said it. It's huge that you have to acknowledge that you're the salt of the earth. It's your very nature, he says. It's God's divine purpose for your very existence, he says. You're a ball player. This is who you are in the world. And get this, your divine purpose for you in relation to you in the lost world, salt, light. Your divine purpose in your salvation from the moment you got saved to the moment you go meet the Lord in relationship with the lost world, salt, light. That's what he's teaching. You got all this other stuff that you have in your heart and mind. To the lost world, to those that don't know Christ, you are the agents of God that are ballplayers in our illustration, that Christ is at work in, that his church in relation to the world, the lost world, you are salt. Well, we better figure out what that is, huh? That's what he's teaching. Natural salt. You know the natural salt that you have on your table in the shaker? It has a divine purpose. God made it part of the elements of the ground. Salt, divine purpose in his creation. So do you. You may not know much about how to be the salt in the earth, but your head coach is God, and he teaches you through the truth of his word how to be salt. He has some assistants running around. Could be pastors, teachers, some of it in the church family. We're trying to demonstrate and teach how to be salt as his assistants. You have to acknowledge that Jesus just declares you salt in relationship to the world. That's what we have to start with. You have to say, okay, Lord, that's what you said. What's that mean then? And I haven't been embracing any of that. I don't even believe I'm salt. I don't even believe I'm light. I'm here. Whatever you got in your heart and mind, we have to deal with the Word of God and what Jesus is telling us and teaching us. Then you have to acknowledge that the world that you live in is corrupt and putrid. And we're not supposed to be mad at it. We're not supposed to be hating it. We're not supposed to be saying, oh my gosh, what's so wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world? No Christ. Well, who's here to share in Christ? Look in the mirror. You're complaining about what God wants you to do something about. I don't like the world. I don't like corrupt people. I don't like the sin. I don't like all the horrible stuff going on. But God said, hey, Ken, but you're here to be salt and light. How about you, me, letting me use you in this world and let me be God, because I'm the only one that can change anything anyway. You want to be a vessel for honor, useful to the master, And if God's going to make any difference in this world through his church, the church has to be submitted to him and acknowledging, hey, we got to serve him if he's going to make any difference. You can pray for God to work, but if you're not available for him to work, why would he work? Amen? Right? Hocus, just pray to God, fix it all. But man, I'm over here. I got stuff to do. Am I hurt? Is this getting anywhere? Because that's why Jesus is here. That's why he's in this. That's why he's saying these things. We're going to get into some things later. You know, why does he say you're light of the world? But why would you throw it under a basket and hide it over here and all that kind of stuff? There's just two warnings in this that are the teaching. The other things are just determined. They're just stated as fact. Then there's two teachings in it. So we have to acknowledge it's a corrupt and putrid world that we live in. Right? It's not getting any better. Right? The idea here of salt and what it is here, and like the world and what's going on, it's like meat left out in the sun. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen? In fact, the spirit of wildness is being held back right now by the Holy Spirit and those who live as salt. So one of the purposes for your existence is to be salt in the earth in a decaying world. It's a decaying world. Then you have to acknowledge that Jesus teaches us, and what we learned in the Beatitudes, we have great blessings from God in our life. We are overblessed. It's absolutely, that really give us a great responsibility to be who we are. Remember what he told us blessings are? The blessed, we are the blessed. They're right here in front of us. You belong to Christ's kingdom, heavenly kingdom. You belong to Christ. You are comforted by God in and through all of your life. As part of your eternal inheritance, the earth will be ours one day. And also, you're being filled, satisfied with the Lord's way and his righteousness. Your new life is renewed each and every day. And the Lord feeds you, feeds your soul, so it's satisfied with him, his truth, his word, always. You actually witness and can see the true work of God in your life and in the lives of others. You now and forever will be identified as his sons and daughters, and a heavenly award awaits those who live for Christ's sake. You have a great responsibility of being so blessed. Those are your blessings that he just said, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. We are, we're blessed. I just read you a short outline of what they are. We have a great responsibility and privilege to be the Lord's salt on the earth. We are blessed. Being the salt of the earth is like a fellow worker with Christ. It's partnering with him. It's planting and watering the seeds of the salvation work of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 3. So what is Jesus teaching us when he declares that we are salt of the earth? What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? It's in your outline. It puts some suggestions in there because a lot of commentators make suggestions. And, you know, people get convoluted sometimes. They just get too smart sometimes. Salt's white. And so salt is white. So that means you're to be white. You're to be purity. It's purity. That's what it is. That was the salt of the earth is the purity of the earth. Well, okay, well, as I walk with Christ, 33 seconds I went with not sinning. Okay, so that's, we want to be pure, we want to be morally pure, we want to be righteous, we want to live like Christ, but that's not what he's meaning, right? We could use that, so we're to represent purity, moral purity, contrast the putridness of the lost world. That's what salt does with its color. Some people see the difference, you know, see the difference in moral people and immoral people, but let me tell you, you know, the false religion going around in our world today probably lives better than we do anyway. Well, that's all this is true, but the purpose of salt in the earth wasn't that. Others suggest it means salt is a flavor. Well, we all get that. Salt's a flavor. It's good. I'm not allowed to eat it anymore. How about you guys? I mean, I pick it up out of the salt shaker, and, you know, I got a duck. Something's coming. None for me, right? You know, our grandkids were over yesterday, and our little two-year-old wanted salt, and I had to hold the shaker and fake it because I didn't want to get into trouble putting salt on my granddaughter's two-year-old's food. We had flavors of the gospel, surely. Yeah, we flavored life that God can use. That's true. But the testimony of the world is the lost. The lost think our life's boring, right? Not a whole lot of flavor in the Christian life in the world, right? But some of that's true, and others that salt stings the wound. It kind of, it's opposite of flavor, right? Stings the wound. So we, in the life that we live, we can be used by God to convict others of sin, right? Stings the wound, sting the conscience. But the gospel is here to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? These are all good ideas, salt, kind of picking it out. Another, salt creates a thirst, sort of the same thing as flavor. Well, that's true. But God's hope is for that, right? Well, all of these have some validity, as I looked at them, and that's what some authors would say. Yeah, they all go here, but here. God can use us to attract others to the gospel, flavor or thirst or lives that can be convicting to others, but they don't fit the world's understanding of salt to the earth back then, when Jesus was talking. So let's get definitive in the Word of God and know what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he identified every Christian from that moment on all the way till his return, you are the salt of the earth. That's what I want. Is that what you want? That's what I want. Natural salt to the earth was an extremely valued commodity back then, and Jesus says the Lord's church, the Christian, in relationship to the lost world by divine purpose, is a valid commodity like salt to their existence. What is it? Well, all food back then was extremely perishable, especially red meat, fish, chicken, lots of stuff, and you rubbed it down with salt to retard the corruption, almost as an antiseptic to keep it from being overrun and rotten, like meat sitting out on your patio that you left by the barbecue, those hamburgers that had been sitting there for 5 days in the sun. What do they look like? We're here for God to use us to rub into the infection of corruption going on in the world to hold it back. That's what he's saying. That sounds pretty definitive to me. That means the way you live and what you live for and what you think and your attitude and the way you dress and everything you do, God uses to retard the corruption in the, of the life that you're living, that's going on around you, in the lost. That's incredible, isn't it? Isn't that incredible? Well, gosh, but look at the corruption going on. Look at the church. Do they live any truth? Oh, sorry. Because they've convoluted God's way, God's word, God's how that we're to live. How can God use people in the church that say sexual sin doesn't matter? How can God hold back the corruption when the church doesn't even know what corruption is anymore? More than half of the churches in America, come on, let me just help you here, don't even talk about sexual sin. We don't know if it is or isn't anymore. What do you think that's doing to the world? Not helping it. And here's their attitude. We want to stay out of all of that because we want to really help the world. And Jesus says, you're not helping it at all. You're not helping it one iota, adulterating the Word of God. Zippo, it's getting more and more corrupt because you're not living the life of salt. You think it's important the way the church lives and what it believes and the truth? Here, I'll give you another one. You just totally destroy God's word on the order of men and women. Women can be pastors. No, they can't, according to what God says. Well, we're trying to reach the world. We're trying to help the world. You're not getting in the way and being used by God to hold back the corruption. There's no light in that. Am I right, guys? There's no light in that. That's the deception of the enemy. That's what it is. This is not opinion, and this is definitive. God's word is never, never had any hint to say that homosexuality is normal, that transgenderism is normal, that the order of men and women in society and what God has, he's never had it to where the women can be the leadership of it all or of a church. When the church corrupts the word of God, what happens? They're not the salt. And then check this out. If you're not the salt, you cannot be the light. Even though you're identified as you are in your very existence. Man, the enemy's winning. I'm kind of bringing this around quicker than because time's almost gone. But that's the point, you guys. the world needs an antiseptic. And he says, you're it by the way you live. True Christianity rubbed over the Western civilization way back, kept America from becoming putrid as it would have been, like meat left out to rot. You want to pray for a revival? Pray for it in the church, that we actually live the truth of God's word. The Lord's church is here as God's provision to live in such a way that God will use it to retard the wickedness, the evil of the lost world from corruption, corrupting humanity to the extent that is overrun in rottenness. And we live as the salt of the earth. God plants and waters the seeds of the gospel and uses who we are as the light of the world. He decided that. I did not. We decide if we're going to embrace who he says we are. That's the decision. Isn't that good? This is God's word. This is God's word. Just take it in your home. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to cut all this short. I'm going to stay out of the warning because that's what the next thing is. So what's the warning? What could go wrong, right? How did I put that in the outline? I got weeks ahead unless I'm not here. What's the danger? The danger is not being the salt, right? But I want you to take this home. Like last week, I said, go to the mirror. Go in front of the mirror, and I want you to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 12. Just read it. Look at you in the mirror and say, you know what? That's God says I am that. That identifies the characteristics of my new life in Christ. Lord, I want all those in my life. I want to have a single-mindedness of devotion. That's pure in heart. I want to be a peacemaker. Thanks, God. That's so important. I want to help. God, can you use me to help somebody that is at enmity with you to see the truth and you reconcile the relationship? I got a lot of people I love. Right? Look at that. I ask you to do that. I'm not going to ask who actually did that. But I ask you to do that and read that in the mirror and then go forth that week, that day, and say, Lord, I want to live that. Your children need you to be salt and light in your home. Grandparents, you need to be salt and light to your grandkids, even some to some of your kids still. But we still need to be this to each other. It's in relationship to the world that he's talking about that we're salt and light, but in our relationship with each other, right? Right, in the life that we're picking on and trying to live, repenting of sin and those kind of things, is because God is using that to build up his body of Christ. Why does he want his church strong? Because the world is putrid. And we need each other to build each other up. And so in your life, at your home, it's like, you know, what is salt? Let's talk about what salt is. Salt is living the right way that God can use to retard the wrong way. What parent don't want to do that in front of them? They watch you, what you're doing. You guys know that. This is what God has for us. This is who we are. It's not going to change by what we think. It's not going to change by what the evangelical church says it is. It's always going to be the same because it's the word of God. Let's thank the Lord for today. And we do. Lord, how can we not be overwhelmed with the truth of while I was in enmity with God, where the anger of God sat upon my heart and mind, sat upon my head, by nature, children of wrath, the Bible says, by nature, that's who I was, who everyone in here was at one point in their life. But the Lord Jesus, in demonstrating what it looks like for God to love, acted on our best behalf with God's best for us by choice with passion. Went through it all. To honor God the Father and to be used by God to redeem those he's going to redeem. In any way, in any small inkling of a way that I can play a part in that, count me in, Lord. Sign me up. In the name of Christ, amen. Have a great day.